going on, everybody? My name is Steve Oley. This show is called Freight Broker Live. It is May 7th, 2:02 Eastern Time. We're going to talk today. As you guys saw, the title of this show today is OIDA versus TIA equals we're screwed. And I'll explain that because some people may be confused, but I'll explain that. So, of course, I have to talk about the protests as much as I don't necessarily want to, but I have to. This is going to be a call-in show as well, so you're welcome to call in later on in the show when I put it up. But, man, I'm going to throw up a question first here because I think this is an interesting one. So I'm throwing up a poll on Facebook. So anyone that's on Facebook right now, you guys should see a poll on your screen. Just go ahead and vote honestly and, you know, whatever. Just vote on that and then we'll you know, will you make it through? If nothing changes from right now in the immediate future, will you make it to the end? Whether you're a carrier or broker, it doesn't matter. Do you have enough funds to be able to continue surviving down whatever path we're going for? And be honest here. It's all anonymous, and this will show a very frightening picture, most likely. So just answer that poll, and then we'll go. For anyone that's never watched before, my name is Steve Oley. I am an active freight broker for now. That's probably going to change here in the future because I don't have any freight and I don't really like the way the industry's going right now. So I may just focus more on the media side and the association side and try to be an advocate for you guys out there because it doesn't seem like we have any good advocates for the industry. We see that. And I'll talk about the OOIDA and I'll talk about TIA and why I now think we're effed is the easiest way to say it. I've been talking a lot lately. I've been talking all morning on the phone with everybody. I've been talking to people in D.C. I've been going back and forth. So, you know, this poll, I'm going to leave this up for a little bit. So if you're just joining Facebook, do two things. One, answer that poll and then share this video out to other people if you would be nice. If you're watching on YouTube, please go ahead and like the video. Anyway, so let me give a little bit of background to why I do what I do in terms of these videos and running the news site and all that stuff. So back in August, I realized there's a huge disconnect between just the industry and the brokerage and carriers and agents and training, and there's just something lacking. So I created the website to try to focus on news and focus on things that I think are important to me. And you know, and I found that, hey, guess what? They're important to other people as well. So I write a lot of news-related breaking news stories and things like that. I've been covering the protests pretty close. You know, I've been covering the protests in D.C. and in Houston and Dallas and El Paso and California and Chicago. I've been covering these things since, you know, they first started. I've probably been the biggest proponent of these. A lot of people think I'm an opponent, but that's, you know, it's because you don't watch the videos. You just hear something and make that assumption, which isn't true. Anyway, so yeah, I cover everything that I feel like is important in the industry, and it's very important for. All right, so let me just give an update. I'm so lost, man, because people are dumb. But let me explain. So we all know that there's this protest going on. The big movement now is switch from, you know, truck drivers' rights and protecting trucking to just freight broker transparency. That's what everyone's doing. The group that's in D.C. and the group that stayed in D.C. ruined it. They didn't ruin it, but they're the original mission that they were going for. They're still holding strong, but it's ruined essentially because of what I would almost call people undermining the focus of the actual protest and trying to get some sort of stability in the trucking industry. And I feel like they were undermined, and now they're just it's just about broker transparency and rates and this and that. That's the general focus. But one thing, and I've been constant in saying this from the very beginning, this is why my video when I interviewed the Rick character up there, this is why that video did so well, is I asked a very simple question and I said, what are you planning to do? What can you immediately do that'll help all these people? So they don't lose their company. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get a response. He didn't have a response. He's made videos since then and said he didn't have a response because it was a very loaded question. you know? And so I started, you know, paying attention and at the same time getting very pissed off that everyone just doesn't understand the fact that you actually need a mission. You need something. You need to try to achieve something. You know, but just saying, hey, we're upset with this, it doesn't make sense. So everyone's focused on this carrier broker transparency. So they want to know how much a broker makes because they feel that that's an important deciding factor on what loads they book and all that stuff. And I'm not going to argue that now. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. To me, it doesn't make any sense. You know, because if a load doesn't pay enough, then you don't take it. I mean, they weren't asking for broker transparency in 2018 when rates are good. The only reason that they're doing it now is because, you know, rates suck. And there are brokers out there that are taking advantage of the situation and shippers that are taking advantage of the situation. There was a video that was posted on LinkedIn a couple of days ago, and that's it was shippers. And the shippers were saying, absolutely, they are trying right now to save money. I know that myself, my customer decided to cut out the broker and work directly with the load boards. Why? Not because he was going to pay more. It's because he wanted to undercut, and I said, I'm not willing to go that low. But again, it's all the broker's fault, and I get that. That's what a lot of people feel, and everyone's seen it online. Everyone's seen it online. Ned Stevens is saying I take on different issues during different cycles. I don't know. There's no different cycle in this event. The fact is that hundreds and hundreds of trucking companies and small brokers are going to close. And the reason they're going to close is because the associations that they pay to represent them are not doing their job. You know, OIDA, for whatever reason, they decided to jump into this fight very late, weeks after this whole cheap freight bullshit, you know, stuff started. And I'm not trying to undermine whatever the mission is, but they jumped into this really late. Why? Because it gained traction and they found that they need to answer. They were getting calls from their members saying, hey, why aren't you being outspoken about this? And so they decided to put out or write a letter to Congress, which we all know that it's been widely distributed on social media yesterday. They put out a letter to Congress asking for, one, the regulation 371.3 to have them be enforced. And secondly, to make sure that the brokers that are using look at it. I mean, this is just stupid comments. Marco Cuero said, brokers snitch to shippers. Shippers become spoiled. That doesn't make any sense because that means that the broker would be losing more of a commission. How does that help your argument? That's what I'm curious about. Anyway, so the OIDA wants the government to essentially enforce part, what is it, 371.3. And then they want the government also to limit, or not to limit, to basically prohibit freight brokers from allowing carriers to waive their rights to review these transactions, which I don't necessarily disagree with either. I don't care about transparency. It doesn't affect my business. It'll affect other people's business, but the thing is, it doesn't affect the decision to take a load or not. It affects future decisions to work with the same broker, but you're not obligated to be able to see the transaction until the transaction's already been completed and you're paid. So you have no recourse, you know, so it the whole argument is kind of silly. Well, then, you know, the TIA decided to step it up. Now, backtracking a little bit, you guys know last week, Bob, I forgot the guy's last name, the TIA president last week put out a really horrible video on YouTube last week as his response. It almost seemed like he was trying to educate freight brokers, or he was trying to educate the carrier side. So he talked really slow. He talked very monotonous, and he didn't really say anything. You know what I mean? He just said, you know, he made a couple of things that were wrong. He said, one, shippers aren't moving stuff at pre-virus rates, which is wrong. If you're under a contract account, which not a lot of spot, well, no spot freight is under contract accounts, but if you're under a contract account, then they're contracted unless they do the force majeure thing to get out of paying those rates. So there are still customers that are doing it, and there are still dedicated carriers that are pulling that contract freight. That contract freight doesn't necessarily hit the spot market until a contract carrier is unable to take it. So it's just a catch-22 in that regard. But so he made an improper statement by saying that nobody's moving stuff at pre-market. This is the head of the TIA. The TIA is in charge of the freight broker side of things. They do all that stuff, whatever. But he's supposedly, you know, he's supposed to represent the trucking or the freight brokerage industry. even though it's called the transportation. I mean, whatever. So that's what he's doing. So he put out this video, and he called all these guys that are making the videos talking about cheap freight snake oil salesmen. It was just a really bad video. It actually did nothing to help answer any questions for any of the carriers. As soon as I saw the video, I was like, oh my God, that is the worst video I've ever seen in my life. It didn't make sense. Well, today or yesterday, they ended up putting out, after the OIDA sent their letter to members of the Congress, literally the worst choice of words, because the people that were kind of on the fence before about it, they're probably not. They're probably on the carrier side. And I'm talking brokers, too, because there's a lot of brokers that are pissed off with this whole situation in the first place. But one of the things that's really annoying is it's just super annoying. One of the things that's really annoying to me is that TIA put out a call to action and said 3PLs are under attack by small brokers for price transparency. I mean, for one, they're not under attack. They're asking for something that technically, legally, they're able to obtain. But the problem is they sign their rights away. And it never became a big enough thing until now, you know. The regulations are regulations. They're there for a reason. I know there's been the whole Dixie Midwest thing that's gone on and all about it. To me, it wouldn't affect me if people see how much I make or don't make, because it would probably actually help educate some of these carriers that have no business being on the road in the first place because they don't understand the market. Like literally everyone that thinks all brokers are making 60% or 65%. All those guys really shouldn't be on the road because they don't understand the market in the first place. But it would really help open their eyes if we opened up the books and said, hey, listen, this is how much we got paid for the load. Are you surprised that it wasn't what you thought it was? Are you surprised it wasn't 60, 70% like you thought? But again, so now OOIDA and TIA are fighting. They're in a ring. You could see the picture that I used for the thumbnail of this video, the article I wrote before. They are fighting. What the stupidest thing is they're fighting for something that's going to take years and years. And I don't know if any of the guys in D.C., I don't know if any of the guys that are arguing cheap freight on social media, I don't know about the people that are bashing brokers in the chat here, I don't know if any of you have any real understanding that it's not going to happen. No matter what happens, nothing is going to happen anytime soon. So they're having what could potentially, and what I will forever call the dumbest argument between trade associations, they're having the dumbest argument while their paying members are going to go out of business, because we're going to have freight brokers that go out of business. We're going to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of trucking companies, both small and large, that are going to go out of business. And what are the trade associations that they belong to doing to try to make sure that that doesn't happen? They're amping up for a really, really long battle about freight transparency. And big freight brokers are just as worried about it, too. And they're sending out this and this. Instead of saying, hey, we can do something to fix the rip, you know, with the accessorial programs and all that stuff that I talked about before. Instead, they're sending out emails to all their employees saying, hey, listen, if you get the, you know, we have a new standard operating procedure. If people ask for rates and this and that. Daniel W. Christopher said brokers should not be able to take over 10%. Well, it's the same, because you know what they'll end up doing. If freight transparency or broker transparency comes into play, they're going to try to regulate the trucking industry and have it go back to what it was before. It's not going to help anybody at all. Can you run profitable at $1.50 a mile? Because that's what's going to end up happening if people keep pushing that way. Is that the megas will say, they'll step in, the power of the ATA. I mean, we already know the power of the ATA. They're the only ones that have a seat at the table right now for transportation's recovery. They're probably sitting there with Knight Swift and J.B. Hunt and DHL and UPS, and they're probably sitting there just letting this ride out. Do you know why? Because a bunch of small trucking companies are going to go under. A bunch of freight brokers are not going to be able to move freight properly because they're going to be worried about whether they have a job or whether they're going to be secretive about what kind of commissions they make. And then you know what happens? ATA comes in and swoops in and then uses all their money and their power and their influence to go to the Congress or to go to people and say, here's a simple solution. Let's put a flat rate of $1.60 per mile. And that is a flat rate. And this is all hypothetical. But what happens if they put $1.60 a mile as a flat rate for carriers? Guess what? You guys all go out of business anyway, because it won't work. It won't work. They can't do it. And that's what the thing that is mind-blowing to me is that while we're focusing on cheap freight and horrible rates and all this stuff, we're not focusing on the one thing that could have positive benefits to the people that are directly affected by the downturn in the economy right now. The head of the TIA and the head of the OOIDA have not even given it a consideration on what could potentially really benefit these guys. And instead of sending letters to Congress and saying, we need broker transparency, or letters to Congress saying, no, do not allow them broker transparency, they could be sending letters saying, hey, guys, we need your help. These trucking companies are going to go under. We need your help. That's what everybody should be doing. That's what the TIA, the head of the TIA, Bob Volkman, or that's his name, that's what he should be doing. He should send a letter out right now, because you know what the truth is? If 60% of trucking companies go out, which I think is going to happen, I think it's going to be a massive number of companies. If a huge percentage of small trucking and owner-operators go out, guess what happens to our industry? It's fractured for a long, long time. And the rates and the variables, and we'll have all these megas. Look at Uber. Uber's launched their own carrier program now, so you can now be lease a truck with no money down through Ryder and lease on to some virtual carrier who's got direct ties to Uber. They're building their own mega fleet, and they're taking advantage of all this stuff too. It literally does nothing. It doesn't – this argument, you know, and that's what I said. I make so many videos, and I have a lot of views and all that, but nobody seems to listen to what I say. You know, I directly asked Bob Volkman in a message on LinkedIn. I said, please just watch this video. Can you imagine what it would be like if the TIA came out with a different press release, even though they sent that message out to all their members this morning saying, oh, owner-operators are attacking 3PLs. No, they're not. Owner-operators are freaked out because they're going to go out of business. And there's unscrupulous brokers out there that are being shady as shit. That's really what's going on. And then you have OOIDA who waits until the very last minute to become involved in this event, and then just says the same thing everyone else is doing. Why? To try to create influence or something, instead of using the power of the 150,000 members or however many they have to go out and say, listen, we need to protect our truckers. We need to do stuff. That's it. That's what they have to do. It doesn't make sense. I mean, the argument that transparency is going to increase rates is so wrong in the first place. It shows the people that are arguing that don't necessarily understand economics, because if all rates are public, guess what the shippers do? They negotiate those rates down. That's the way that the industry works. And this is not good, but even transparency doesn't affect me in my rates, because I don't make a huge amount of profit. I just cover a bunch of loads. You know, if anything, carriers would be surprised that I'm not making a lot. But it just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand the push for this. What happens to all the guys that are sitting in D.C. that are weeks away from losing their truck? That's all they're focused on. They're trying to figure out a way to stay open, but they're not even really paying attention to what's going to happen. By focusing on these things in terms of hours of service regulations and autonomous trucks and this and that and increased training, what is the immediate response that's needed to help these truckers stay open? It just doesn't make any sense. I'm like completely mind blown that nobody seems to be focusing on what's really important, and that's the fact that hundreds of companies are going to go out of business. The new unemployment numbers came out today. We have 33 million people unemployed. 33 million people. And we're worried about rates and how much someone is making and how much someone's not making. It doesn't make any sense. Team Tiny on YouTube said a drowning man worries about his next breath of air. Yeah, but apparently not. These guys aren't. All these people that say they're going to lose money because all the brokers are price gouging and all this and are going to go out of business from it, they're not focused on trying to request immediate assistance. They're focused on things that will take years to be battled in court. Do you think broker transparency, do you think the president can just sign in some executive order and order private companies to open their books? It won't happen. It won't happen. So this means that it's a huge amount of lawmaking and lobbying and money that's getting tossed around. Money that really – does the OOIDA have enough money to actually pass this? Because I think they've tried before, right? I think they tried in, what was it, 2018 or 2017 or 2016 or 2008? I don't know. They tried something, the talk or whatever it was, truck, and it didn't work. And they, you know, the TIA, in the message that the TIA sent out today, it said that they successfully beat them down. Then This isn't about beating anybody down. This isn't about having, you know, the TIA go after OOIDA and OOIDA go after the TIA. This is about people that are going to lose their business and are going to lose their livelihood and are going to lose their trucks. And I don't know. Ned Stevens says this will be quite easy and quick because other industries are similarly regulated. Well, I have a question for you, Ned, because I went up to D.C. and I talked to these drivers, and these drivers also said they have a couple of weeks before they're done. And I can tell you with 150% certainty that nothing will be done in a couple of weeks. Not a single thing. So by saying that you know, it could be happening quickly, it will not happen quick enough to save these companies. The only ones that it will benefit is ones that already are fiscally responsible and are saving their money, and the megas that everyone loves to hate anyway. So, I mean, that's it's just mind-blowing. I don't think people actually think about anything before they talk. It really doesn't make sense. People, the guy, he made another video today talking about Lane. He's probably using Lane honey, thinking it's a real thing, you know, because, again, he hasn't been involved in all sides of the industry. So Rick made another video, and he's like, I've got some breaking news. I figured out the national van rate average is really $6.11. No, it's not. It's never been $6.11, you doof. That's like just someone putting out, and then he's like, I got very important information that I'm not allowed to tell you. There's someone else that does that same kind of crap. It's just trying to get people to pay attention to what they're doing and get some sort of response from people. And it's sad. It's sad. It really is. Let's read some of these comments, because I just went on a tear there. But, you know, I friended everyone on LinkedIn, every single OIDA person I could find and every single TIA person I could find. And if you guys watch this video, you need to do better for your members. And I'm not a member of either of you guys, but you need to do better for your members, because right now there's going to be companies that are going to go out of business. Today, people are making the decision to close, and because they can't afford to go with low rates. They can't afford. There are people today that are closing, brokerages that are closing today because they don't have enough volume to sustain. There are manufacturing today that are closing and making the decision to fire people and lay off everybody because they don't have enough orders to sustain. It's not going to repair itself. This is not going to repair itself. A lot of people say, a purge. We'll just purge the carriers and do all that. I'm not a fan of these purges. You know, I'm not. No, it doesn't make any sense. Camille Karunavov, or whatever your name is, sorry. You said we are focusing on the wrong target. It's brokers. We need to focus on carriers' need and all those expenses that are really high. Again, that's not something that can be stopped. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is how come there hasn't been any association or any spokesperson for this industry that I've seen so far that says we need some sort of economic relief, immediate economic relief. How come there isn't a single group of people? How come the OOIDA, with all their money and all the memberships that they sell, hasn't said it? How come the TIA hasn't said it? Because freight brokers rely on carriers to pull freight. So if carriers go out of business, it's going to make our job to move freight harder, i.e. we're not going to make as much money because we're going to spend more time booking freight or do whatever. So how come the TIA hasn't made and changed the course? If I was in charge of the TIA and I saw the OIDA's BS letter that's not going to do anything in the first place, I would have came out and I would have said, listen, instead of saying, 3PLs are under attack by owner-operators, further increasing the divide between brokers and carriers, you know what I would have done? I would have put out a press release and I would have did a call to action. I said, and I would have been like, we need to support America's truck drivers. However we do it, we need to support it. So everyone sign this petition that you're signing to contact members of Congress and the president to say no regulations or no this and this. Instead, turn it for the good and say, listen, we need support. Can you imagine if the TIA, ATA, which probably would never happen, but the TIA and OIDA came out together and you know, Mr. whatever his name is with the TIA called Mr. Cowboy Hat with the OIDA and said, listen, we need to do something. Otherwise, everyone's done. So let's put aside our differences right now. And I tried this with another goofy trade organization the other day. I did the same thing. I said, let's put our differences aside and affect some change in this industry. You know what I got? It's silence. Because people don't care. All these associations that are out here now, it seems that they all want to just be focused on their own missions and slander and just being stubborn and dumb, if you ask me. That goes for every association right now, you know, because nobody's doing anything to actually protect their group of members. Not a single one. Think about it. How is sending a letter to Congress asking for freight transparency several weeks after this all became mainstream? How does that do anything to help the small members that you guys have that are going to close? And the same question can be posed to the TIA, Transportation Intermediaries Association. How does sending a letter out to all your members and say, 3PLs are under attack by owner-operators, how does that do anything to bridge this divide? I just don't get it. I don't understand. Nobody seems to actually give a shit about the industry. Everyone just seems to care about their own agenda. I can tell you one thing that we are not going to focus on in the North American Association of Transportation Service Providers. We're not going to focus on the cheap freight and broker regulation and all that shit. Why? Because it's irrelevant. We have to make the industry better. So we have to work harder to make sure that truck drivers, like the one guy said, that there isn't a huge amount of overhead to have people go in. Let's make the barrier of entry a little bit harder. And I'm not talking about in terms of cost. I'm talking about in terms of educational requirements for both brokers and carriers. Let's increase the bond amount for brokers. Why? Because they need to. Because unfortunately, just like the ELD was put into place because there were some bad apples. And now, if you look at it now, you know, the bonding amount was raised because of bad apples. It's still happening. There's still people that are screwing over small carriers every single day, closing. Shit. You want to talk about transparency and rates. What do you think is going to happen when these brokers that were already on the cusp, were really slow paying and all that stuff, the smaller brokers that don't necessarily have a good footing on finance, what do you think is going to happen to those guys when they have to take from the float to pay carriers and do this and pay their rent and do all this stuff, and then they realize, oh, their customers are slow paying, they get behind, and they make the decision to turn and burn, because that's what happens. I guarantee if I had someone that worked for a bonding agency, they would say the same thing. Yeah, we're seeing unprecedented amounts of people leaving. You know, it doesn't make any sense. People don't care about this industry enough to actually try to affect change. People only care to argue back and forth and bicker, you know, and I'll say it again. Yes, there are brokers out there that are price gouging, deliberately charging more, trying to turn a profit in a time where it's a national crisis. And you, all you brokers that are doing that, and I'll say this as clear as day for everybody to understand. And yes, I am a freight broker. Every single broker that is right now making the decision to charge more to try to turn a profit. Now, I'm not talking about turn more to try to just break even. I'm talking about trying to charge more to turn a profit. You guys are all scumbags and you're ruining the industry. And the carriers that are pulling out the 80 cent per mile loads, you guys are not doing a good job either. But and then there's a whole separate segment of brokers that are charging a higher profit. Yes, they're moving stuff at the market cost, which is low. Yes, because they're trying to maintain their staff. They're trying not to have to add to the unemployment numbers and all that stuff. That's crazy. Justin Reynolds has on Facebook, he said, Steve, let's take your example of a $3,500 load on 1,000 miles, and the broker also makes $3,500. You said, I don't know what you're talking about. You said that was double the carrier's operating cost. How many times over a broker's operating cost is that? I don't know a solution, and I agree with transparent. Who cares? That's the thing that doesn't make sense to me. Who cares if a broker is making $3,000 if the carrier is making enough so they're happy? Nobody. That's the thing. Nobody does. Nobody cares at that point. The only reason people want broker transparency right now is because there are some brokers that are being unfair and that are being shady. And it's a huge part of it has to do with education. A huge part of it has to do with the fact that some owner-operators out there they use dispatchers because they don't know how to use a board. They use factoring companies because they don't have the finance. And I'm not crapping on any of these things. But they use factoring companies because they don't, you know, have enough capital to sustain. They use fuel cards and max them out every single week because, again, they don't have any capital to sustain. They complain about ELDs while pushing for additional regulations in the industry. It's mind-blowing to me. It just people, I swear, if people sat back and actually just paid attention to what is going on in the industry, they would be like, wow, this is dumb. You know, and that's why in my article, the very first paragraph, I said OIDA and the TIA are engaging in what could possibly be the dumbest argument between trade organizations that I've ever heard of in my 15 years working in this industry. It could literally be the dumbest thing I've ever experienced. Literally watching every news article that's going to come out about this and listening to every video and watching and reading every post, we're all going to get stupider because these are the people that are supposedly representing the industry. And you know what they're doing? They're watching, they're helping the industry crumble. And I'm not talking about asking for price transparency. I'm talking about not asking for the right thing at the right time. They are not asking to save trucking companies. They're asking to it doesn't make any sense, man. It really doesn't. I almost went live as soon as I saw the TIA article. I almost did. I was so freaking mad, dude. You know, and I wrote an article. It's crazy. Let me read some of these comments. We got a bunch, and then I'll open up the phone. Benjamin said he's happy to tune back in. Cool, cool, cool. Nicola on YouTube said, I parked my truck over a month ago and started to drive for DoorDash delivering food, making over $1,000 per week. No trailer, no truck, no trailer payments. Canceled the insurance, and I just wait for some better time. Well, you can also go lease on to Cloud Trucks now and pull Uber freight because Uber's launched their own thing. You guys want to talk about all the bad shit that's happening in the industry. As the industry is in crisis and as we're going through an economic meltdown in the country and in our industry, Amazon has taken over the brokerage world, which doesn't scare some, but it scares the shit out of me. Like one of my authors, one of the writers, he wrote an article saying he's not nervous. Me, personally, I think it's not good for the industry for one trucking company or one company to take over the entire logistics space. I don't necessarily think it's a good deal. Then Uber... Hey, now Uber's created a partnership with Cloud Trucks, and they did it so the CDL drivers that just couldn't drive or didn't want to drive or whatever that were doing their rideshare programs but happen to have a CDL, now they can go to this company, Cloud Trucks, as long as they have a CDL for 2 years and a clean record. They can go lease a truck from Ryder with no money down and be able and start their own little trucking company. What do you think that's going to do to the industry, guys? So as everyone's talking about cheap freight, we're adding more trucks and more desperate people, more desperate truckers to the market that are now going to say, oh, this is a career. I could become a truck driver. Great. But they don't understand the industry, and now they're leasing on, and they're going to be pulling freight, further driving the rates down because everyone is so preoccupied with what else goes on. Do you think it's a mistake or a timing issue why Uber released their bidding functionality within their app? No, they released that now because everyone's taking cheap ass loads and they realize, hey, we're going to be able to turn a profit during this quarter. That's why these companies are doing it, and nobody pays attention to any of this stuff. They're just arguing about cheap freight. Do you have bad brokers? This, that. it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing. Kevin Sox and more truckers with zero business knowledge. That's what it is. That's what it's going to be like. I thought about that too. Michael Swan, he said he's going to get him a tow truck. That too. Trucking and Oversized Freight Podcast. You asked, what does unemployment look like in the trucking cheap rates? I don't know. That's a good question. I think every month they put out their report that breaks it down by segment. I will ask my economist and see if she can look. I think it's in the transportation warehouse segment. So I'll ask her if she could put some out, because that's a good one too. That's a good question to see. I know Pennsylvania 1 week had a massive amount. They had the highest number of layoffs in the transportation sector in the country. And that was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. So it's crazy. Ned Stevens said Amazon is everywhere. You know, they also have Convoy. Well, Amazon doesn't own Convoy, but yeah. Not that I'm aware of. They're separate companies. RD Trucking said, Team Tiny Wright. I thought the same thing about him. He's a hustler, not a business owner. I am running a trucking business, not running a hustle. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I think you're talking about something different back and forth. Let me try to go up and find the comments. Oh, yeah, you guys are just talking back and forth amongst yourself. Freeway Carthiers, you say Amazon is losing its butt under the radar and they are trying to get back in bed with FedEx. They're trying to. Amazon, I don't think, is losing anything. I think Amazon is going to come out of this thing strong as hell. That's in all reality. They're going to come out strong. They've been slowly building, and they're going to do the same thing to the trucking industry that they did to the final mile and package delivery sector. You know, they looked. It was rumored that they were looking at buying FedEx and doing all that stuff, and then they said, F it, we're going to build our own. And look what they did. You know, how many of you guys can get 5 miles down the highway or 5 miles down the road without seeing an Amazon van? They are everywhere. And they used to be independent contractors that were all guided in by the principle of, oh, we're going to become big business owners with Amazon. It's going to be great. We're going to add trucks. We're going to lease our trucks from Amazon. That's a catch, too. all those contractors that were driving the vans and all that stuff, they were leasing the they were leasing the trucks from Amazon. So when Amazon pulled all their contracts, the 7,000 people that all lost their jobs, the contractors, or they were employees of contractors that all lost their jobs from you know, November until what, April 12th, all Amazon got all its vehicles back and put them into the new franchise program. So really, like, I talked to one business owner that was going to have to lay off 700 people, and he said, the only thing we're out in terms of cost, and the only thing we're actually going to owe on, is the little handheld devices that they have to buy, because those aren't Amazon. The insurance is through Amazon. The trucks are through Amazon. So it didn't, and all the personnel in the warehouses were through Amazon. So Amazon was, and that's the thing, and they're doing it with trucks. Someone sent me a message yesterday showing day cabs with people's names and some information about the Amazon truck program. Where you, as long as you're a business and you're already in existence and you have a good relationship with Amazon, they're allowing you to lease these Amazon branded day cabs and run under your own authority and your own DOT number while pulling Amazon trailers. Why are they doing it? Because they're probably testing out to see if it's more effective for them to hire drivers, or maybe they can create some sort of other franchise program. And no one's going to be able to stop them. This national brokerage thing, I'm really really concerned about it. I think they're going to be able to take over. You know, it's going to change the way, like I said a couple of days ago, the way the freight brokerage industry is working. And I know a lot of people think it's a good thing on the carrier side because you guys all hate brokers. Oh, you're screwed. You're screwed. Think about it. If everyone goes to become, you know, on the DFM marketplaces, the digital freight marketplaces, and then you're forced to bid against other carriers, because right now you're only bidding against a broker, whether you realize it or not. You know, very few transactions do we post a load and we sit and we wait for the cheapest carrier to come in. No, we have a target rate that we want to move it for, and then if we get a carrier that's pretty close to that rate, we take it. But the way all these bidding platforms work, they have a target rate that's super damn low, and the carriers will bid, and then they bid against each other, and they try to get down to that target rate. And more often than not, they do get down to the target rate. And if carriers are bidding against each other, again, if you guys care about price transparency and all that crap, look at how much you guys are allowing freight brokers to make when you use those bidding platforms. It's scary as hell when you really think about it. Ryan Johnson said Amazon had sales of $75 billion in the first quarter. I think they're doing just fine. Oh, yeah, they're doing fine. Gary Cryer said current Amazon relay board looks horrible, but it's better than spot rates for sure, but that isn't saying much. Again, but that's Amazon's product as well. So they are the shipper. They're making money off of every single thing. They're making money off of their warehousing. They're making money off of their TMS systems. They're making money off of profit of the sale. I mean, think about that business structure and how they make money. Yeah, but no, everyone wants to go after, you know, independent brokers, because everyone thinks all brokers are evil and all brokers are doing bad things. You know, and that's the only reason why I push for freight transparency. I think freight transparency is okay, because you know what? It's going to provide a really weird and rude awakening to a lot of these carriers that are going out and thinking brokers are making hand over fist, because it actually isn't that way. Some brokers maybe, but the majority of brokers are making a regular salary and doing all that stuff and working their ass off to get it. I know we work behind a desk and we're by our families and all that stuff. I've been faulted for that as well, because I chose to stop driving trucks to be closer to my family. And then people criticize me for that too. Can't do anything. So 47%, and if any of these trade organizations are watching this, 47% of my viewers right now, 47% of my Facebook viewers, I have to say they will not make it through this transaction or through this economic crisis right now unless they have some sort of financial intervention, unless there's a subsidy or loans are made readily available or something happens, some sort of economic stimulus. They're not going to make it. 52% say yes. Well, now the percentage just went down a little bit. So now it's 48-52. But I'll put that back up in a minute. Here's another question. This may be a loaded one, depending on who my viewership is. But do you think increased broker regulations will help anybody, will help anything? That's a real question. And you really have to think about it. Try, before you answer it is yes, try to think about the answer to this. Do you think that that's going to help anything in the long run? Is it going to help you make your determination of whether or not you pull a load for somebody? Yeah, I mean, I don't care, because I'm an open book. I don't really care if someone sees what I do or don't do. I don't care. But do carriers honestly believe that it will help them be a determinant on whether they're booking stuff? And I should have wrote just price transparency, because that's what I'm talking about. So and so for anyone that's watching this right now, do you think increased broker regulations in terms of price transparency and fixed profit margins and things like that? That's what I meant to say. You know, I don't know. And Jimmy Bryan on YouTube said those new bid now tools use a computer algorithm to set the starting price. They use historical data to predict the bids drivers will place. Right, again, and they're notoriously cheap. Some of them do that. That's only the no-touch rate. That's only the no-touch. Some of the other systems allow the customer to put their starting rate in. Again, you guys don't understand, but some of these customers, they start out with super unrealistic rates. They don't all use algorithms. Some of these are, you know, Convoy. I believe Convoy has direct where customers can post out for the rate they want. It's not going to help. It's not going to help. And who's doing the regulating? You're looking too much in the question. Do you think that, I mean, everyone's pushing right now for increased regulations in terms of broker transparency, profit margins, that kind of stuff. Do you believe that that will honestly help the industry? And that's it. We're not talking about who's regulating or doing any of that shit. Just do you think it'll help regulate the industry? Ralph Engel said, we need cash flow. Cash is stopped. It's just waiting to die now. No, that's true. And that's what I was saying. I think I talked to you this morning while I was working on the article. You caught me while I was a little pissed off after reading the TIA thing. You know, this industry is in turmoil. And I don't think anybody fully understands what the hell we're going through, which is a scary, scary thing. Let me move this. So first thing, I'm going to play one of my advertisers for this month and next month. Send TMS. I'm going to play their commercial right now.
Aren't you tired of your outdated server installed TMS? Are you stuck with a software that looks like it was developed when the Matrix movie was popular? Well, Ascend TMS is here to bring you to the actual future of TMS solutions. You can literally get started in less than 15 seconds. Ascend TMS is one of the only true cloud-based TMS softwares on the market. While other softwares can take weeks or even months to implement, Ascend TMS just takes a few moments. See, we actually timed it. And what about features? I think we have you covered there. Here at Ascend TMS, we're so confident you'll make your business more efficient and profitable in your first 30 days, we give it to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today at thefreetms.com.
All righty. Let me put this down. Hold on, I just got to get this up. All right, so we're using the call-in line right now, 914-803-4008. You're welcome to call in if you'd like, 914-803-4008. I'll do my best to get to your calls. Just wait on hold. And you can listen and get caught up. If you press 1, you can listen. I don't know how it works, but you can listen then. The GOAT I'll be playing eventually. I have to put it back on my computer. It's not on here. Mike Welton. Weldon said, but if they would help with truck order not used, detention and overnights, that could happen now. I know, that's another thing. The TIA could have sent out a letter to their members and say, listen, here's one thing the drivers are asking for that we could probably institute some sort of change. But nobody does it. You know what I mean? Instead, they're just like, oh, we're under attack. We have to defend ourselves. No, let's try to make the industry better. I know, it doesn't make any sense. Robert Bub Bird said, I'm wrong. I'll give one example. If I own trucks here, if I own trucks here and over there I have a brokerage, bet money I'll be calling the customers on my brokerage side. Yes, it'll make a difference because once brokers see this, you're out of your mind if you think brokers won't think that about our cheap rate. I don't know if you're answering, if you're talking to me or somebody else. That doesn't make any sense. Felipe Perez said transparency only helps people who don't know or when to negotiate or don't know lane history. Again, and to be honest, it doesn't help anything. Transparency, the whole regulation, the way it's in fact, and the way that the OIDA is pushing for it, they're not trying to change the regs. What they're trying to say is that when the way the regs read right now is the transaction is done. You know, so when the transaction is done and the carrier is paid based on the credit terms, then he can request the paperwork. And so it literally does nothing to make to help you make a decision to book a load at that time. The only thing it would do is help you make a decision on whether or not you want to work with that person in the future. But you wouldn't be able to do anything with that information. You couldn't back solicit to the customer. You couldn't do anything. So it just doesn't make any sense. You know, I've never understood it. I just don't understand the argument. But if people care about it, care about it. Everyone's making the realtor thing. Osana Karvenko said, when you were a realtor, you had a cap of 6%. So if real estate brokers are capped, why not freight brokers? Again, it's a different transaction. It's a whole different industry. And that's it. And just like someone else said, you know, realtors are taking tests and are licensed and doing all that stuff too. I think freight brokers should have to have some sort of education before they're allowed to broker. I also think that you can't just wake up one day and decide, hey, I've got a little bit of money. I want to go become a super trucker. I also think that should be able to happen too. We talked to the one guy in California, super nice guy, but he's in CDL training school. Never drove a truck, never been a driver, never did anything like that, but he decided he wants to become a trucker, and he's going to go out. And I said, what, are you going to try to be a company driver? He's like, no, I'm going to own my own trucking company and jump out there and run. How is that a good idea? I don't know. Let me see if this works. Hey, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air, buddy.
Yeah, hi, my name's Chris. I'm a small carrier out of northern Illinois. Got three trucks. I'm just calling about your conversation you're having on the radio here. I think it's a bad idea to get the feds involved in anything. I think it would backfire drastically. I mean, if you want to know what the broker's getting paid, how would a driver or a company feel if the broker wants to know what your overhead expense is on that truck and then pay you accordingly to what your overhead is? I mean, that wouldn't be right, would it?
No, but that's kind of the thing. That's probably what it's going to happen. But I mean, the transparency argument is I don't know, dude. I think I'm tired of talking about it already.
Yeah, the whole thing is just leave it alone. You know, if cheap, there really is no such thing as cheap freight. There really isn't. People might want to argue with me on it, but there's not, because you'll have a guy that might have a brand new truck, brand new trailer, paying $3,000 to $4,000 a month in payments, you know, and then you can have another guy who all of his equipment's paid for. So what does that mean? That means he can haul the freight for probably half the price than you can and still turn the same profit.
Right. Yeah.
What I mean?
And that's what I said. You know, that's like the worst thing that could possibly happen to the industry. It's not a good idea. You know, it doesn't help. And like I said, it doesn't help the immediate effect of the fact that we're all screwed. But thank you for calling in, bud.
One more thing, and who they got handling it with them having a lie to do it, you might as well just shoot yourself in the foot now. I don't know. And I hate to say it, but if you want to go statistically and off of numbers, you know, and I've been in this industry for quite some time, my father, grandfather, everybody, truck drivers are the worst at managing and handling money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're telling me the last 2 years when the industry has seen the best it ever has, highest freight rates, highest capacity, nobody saved any money? I mean, there was times where we can almost name our rate and the brokers were taking it. You know, when the ball was in our court.
People weren't looking for regulations at that point. Yeah, people weren't looking for increased regulations at that point. But thank you, bud, for calling in.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too. I think there's a little bit of delay on the phone, so I apologize if I'm talking over everybody. I'm hearing it with a delay. Dual Murd said, what's wrong with that? I did that. I did have experience in trucks, so what's your point? Are you saying I can't do this job as an independent? No, I'm saying the majority of people aren't very business savvy. The majority of business owners that are coming out and deciding to look at 2019, look how many people entered the market in 2018 where rates were good and then closed down. Look at how many small businesses got out of trucking in 2019 as rates tanked. And now we're going further and rates are continuing to tank. Do you know why they all got in? Everyone, you know, I knew hundreds of hotshotters that all jumped in. Why? Because they already had a pickup. Let's go buy a $7,000, you know, air ride flatbed and go get some insurance and boom, we're a super trucker. a lot of people don't have the business sense. It's just like the people that get in and pay the money to become a broker, and then get out there and realize, hey, I don't know how to broker. You know, people do that. It happens. I'm not trying to say anything bad to anybody, but that's facts, bro. And, you know, some people just don't know the industry enough to actually do anything. Ralph Engel said moving a commodity is not purchasing an asset. Two different markets. Kind of agree with that, too. Hector is making the argument that a freight broker and a realtor are the same. Well, no, because to be honest, a realtor makes way more money than a freight broker, a good one. You know, it's a whole different transaction. Like, it's just different. You know, and I get the argument, and for me, I could give two shits either way. I couldn't care if we have, you know, open transparency and open books and all that stuff, but unfortunately, it does little. And that transaction is different, too, because you're seeing what the broker agent is making in terms of a real estate transaction before you do the load. That's not what the current regulations say. The current regulations say that you see that 30 days after your load is done or after the payment is completed based on payment terms. That's when you see the transaction. There is absolutely no way whatsoever that the government will step in and say you have to provide your rates before a load is accepted. There is absolutely no way. It takes away any competitive advantage for a private business. There's no way at all. So they're two different transactions. They're completely and utterly different. It's the same way. Look at insurance. They have a bottom line, and then you have to play with the profit margin. You know, but again, those are heavily licensed people. You got to take courses. You got to prove that you know what you're doing. RDE Trucking said a realtor makes more than a freight broker, but you know what a realtor is doing. Again, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It doesn't make sense. Hector Padilla said they are not the same, but I agree. Our argument is on regulations and transparency. I get that the argument's on regulations and transparency, but again, I'm posing the question to anybody. What does it do to help you? Wouldn't you rather just be able to keep your trucking company afloat right now and work on that quest? I just don't get it. Ralph Engel is saying $1 million bond. Yeah, I mean, that again, that would never happen either. Ned Stevens on YouTube said a freight broker will never have to reveal rates to a carrier. It breaks the agency relationship. It just won't happen, and I think that's why some people are fighting a losing battle. You know, you're fighting a losing battle. It doesn't make any sense. Nick Differ said if they like proof of pricing margin, slow down on setup and read it all. You can get that information. Absolutely. Yeah, the industry's weird, man. A lot of people just I firmly, firmly believe, and I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody, but I firmly, firmly believe that people don't really know what they're doing. And I mean, to be blunt, so here's my last question. So here's my last poll question on Facebook right now. And I just posted it. Is the DC protest working? Now, you got to keep in mind what the actual plan of the DC protest we're doing. Hey, whatever that caller is on hold, can you press 1 so I could see what it does on my screen, please? The 214 number. But in all reality, do you think the DC protest right now is having the effect? No, I guess it does. It puts a little blue question mark thingy. Very cool. Hey, what's up, man? You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good.
You're all right. Listen, I'm watching your show, and I noticed that you spoke about the transparency and mm-hmm. how people want companies. I'm sorry, not people, companies. Want transparency. When they want transparency, I'm really just on the fence because what you're saying, you have facts and people are not realizing the facts that you're speaking. Transparency, right. We could use this example. Let's just say a popular load board app that people are very aware of, carriers.
Right.
That's transparent. And with that transparency, right. being shown, people still go low. Companies still go lower than what the transparency is showing. Are we asking for right. transparency, or are we asking for somebody to take responsibility to give us a helping hand when we make unsmart decisions for our businesses so we do not lose? Which one is it? Are we trying to be an all-profit carrier or a carrier that does not compete in the market. It's a market.
I think, yeah, I think what everyone's trying to do, and I could be wrong, but I haven't heard anything to object to this. I think everyone is now mad that the rates are so low, which is understandable, and I completely agree with that. But everyone is mad because the rates are super low. And then someone got it in their head that a broker is making, 100% commission, and they posted it on social media, and it blew out. And then you got a guy that makes a couple of videos, and he makes up a couple of questions, and it just blows out. So I think a lot of it has to do with education. A lot of and anyone, who is probably not arguing the fact of cheap freight? Carriers that have their own direct customers. That's my guess. I bet carriers that have their own direct customers that understand the business and understand how the actual market works. I bet they're not sitting out here just, yes, is it going on in some cases? Absolutely. But the fact is that, like you said, some people just don't know. They don't understand the market. They want to, I don't know, man.
No, I have this last thing to say is, If carriers are asking for transparency and they want to open up Pandora box, then what stops the driver from asking the carrier for transparency when they're doing freight for a company and demanding a higher per mile rate for operating under the company authority? Like a company driver, let's just say famous carrier, all of a sudden the drivers say, if you're making $500 off his load, I demand that I make $300. It's open Pandora box in a
Well, they do that already. Yeah, they do that. They all have the same. Yeah, they do that already. There's people that complain about everything all the time. So there's people that are, one day they get hired by a job and then they work and they find out, hey, it's not the thing they want. So instead of quitting and trying to make a different livelihood for themselves, they sit and complain about it forever. There's people that are in 2018, there's still people that were getting $4 or $5 a mile on some loads and were still complaining that they weren't making enough money. You know what I mean? It's mind blowing. People will complain over everything. I always use that argument with my wife. You would say it's cloudy when there's not a cloud in the sky. And I think that's what a lot of people do. And my wife hates that, by the way, when I say that. But I say that a lot to her when we're having a stupid argument. I say that all the time. You would, if the sky could be blue without a cloud in the sky, and you would say, oh, it's cloudy. Because that's just some people will never be happy. And some people, in this instance, I think a lot of people are just lacking the education and don't really just firmly understand what's going on. You know what I mean? But thank you for calling in, sir.
It's really showing. And with this entitlement, it's showing that a lot of people invested into this industry and did not take the proper time to understand the risk and the probability. And sometimes you saying understanding the market.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Very true, man.
But
I think your phone is cutting in
you.
And out. Yeah.
Okay.
I think your phone's cutting in and out, buddy.
But thank you. Thank you for having me on.
All right, buddy. Bye. Yeah, Marcos Cuero said Rightload's going to take over. Rightload's a broker, whether you like it or not. And they've got an exemption from the FMCSA, so they say, to do it. But they're working with direct shippers, and they're passing on a cost. But, I don't know. I've never seen the inside of the board, and I don't know what kind of freight volumes they have. I've talked to Matt. I like the guy. It's weird, man. And Rightload's not going to take over because Amazon is, and all these other digital platforms that are coming out. There's one that's coming out. They haven't even formally announced, and they put Rightload to shame because they're massive. They're already massive. They already have all the capacity. They've been beta testing it forever, and I didn't hear about them until I got a press release on accident. They sent it 2 weeks early, and that's the only reason I knew about it. But they're massive. They already got the huge accounts. They already have massive trucking companies that are participating in their platform. They do a lot more than just have a marketplace. Nobody's figured it out yet in terms of what's going to actually change the market. Nobody's done it because a standalone load board or shipper direct board or whatever the case isn't enough to appeal to the masses to get them to draw attention. And then, like I said, I've talked to Matt before with Rightload, super nice guy, but it's missing a lot of components to actually make it successful. And I'm consulting with a company right now that's trying to do the same thing. And it takes so much. to draw the attention in and to do that. There's people going back and forth again on the chat. Mike Burgess said exactly, then show their rates so you can understand. Like I said, I have no problem with freight transparency. If that will get all you guys to shut up and then realize, okay, you have a bigger issue, because now if all brokers say, yeah, well, sure, we'll open up our books 30 days after you take a load, guess what happens at that point? You guys still go out of business because you're all focusing on the wrong thing. Like, it's common sense. I wish the TIA came out right now and said all members should do this. You know why? Because all these trucking companies are going to go under. Because everyone thinks that everybody's making a whole bunch of money right now, and it's truly not that way. There's not going to be a single damn brokerage that turns a profit in Q2. I almost am willing to bet on it. Except like Uber, because they have platforms where they allow carriers to bid against each other. So they post a load for $1.10, and you guys, when their load should really move for $1.20, or not $1.20, but $1.80. But then you get stupid carriers that don't understand the cost of operating. Look at Shipping Wars, that stupid show that was out that was all fake in the first place. But look how they did it. They used to bid against each other to get the lowest rate they possibly could, just out of spite. That's real. That's a real industry. That's the way it really works. You know, so everyone's pushing for something else, and you're all going to lose. You're all going to lose. And it would be awesome if someone finally figured it out. Any one of those guys in D.C., or even Rick, man, if he just, used his pop. Can you imagine if he said that? If you said something like, hey, yes, we still want broker transparency, we have to push all that, but we have to change our focus temporarily to try to save our trucking industry. But no, they're focusing just on the broker transparency argument. And OIDA made the mistake of focusing on the broker transparency argument. And the TIA made the mistake on focusing on the broker transparency argument. And it's going to bury the industry. It's going to cause trucking companies to close. It's going to be a hurtful, hurtful thing. Here's another caller. Hey, what's up? You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? I'll run this by quick. I'm good. A quick talker anyways. Anyways, a couple things. One, I don't think the DC is working. One, they're pitting brokers against truckers rather than both of us to get what we actually need. While they're bailing out museums and all this other stupid stuff they're bailing out, we're sitting here fighting each other, brokers and truckers. Two, I feel that as a broker, I'm an overdimensional freight broker. I have a CDL license. I have my authority. I've owned a truck. I've driven for Landstar, so I've seen all sides of this. But as a broker, I feel that what we do need is some type of test, certification, not a commission rate or a specific rate, but at least a test. And what that's going to do is basically have something to take away when we screw up.
Yeah.
I mean, I quote my own freight as overdimensional. I don't get my quotes from drivers, but I never have drivers complain. But I'm quoting stuff 20 foot wide, 20 foot tall. And I have huge problems with other brokers coming in when something should pay $30,000, and they quoted for $5,000. And my best defense that I've learned, that everybody should learn, is knowledge and training, business training, and understanding business would carry them through the slow times. Because that's what business is.
Right.
So when I walk into another broker, that I'm not a broker basher, but that steps in and tries to charge $5,000, I tell my customer, get him on the phone. Get him on the phone, and I'll ask him some questions. If you're satisfied with his questions or lack of knowledge, I'll tell you. If he's good, I'll tell you to hire him. But I can tell you right now, I can name some regulations that he'll have no clue about. Hey, what type of trailer should that go on? Oh, I don't know. That's how I defend my rates to my customers. But I could be on the phone for 7 hours calling states trying to get authorized to go through. So for me, making 2% or 3% might not cut it when I'm on the phone for 7 hours for one load. I'm not a volume guy.
Well, making 2% of a $30,000 load should cut it. you don't need 5 or 10% on a $30,000 load. Just
well,
my
depends.
Opinion.
It depends.
No, under no
circumstances.
That's different. Yeah, that's different.
So,
but best of luck to you. I hope I hope it worked out for you. I don't know. The transparency argument's not going to happen in our life, dude.
No,
so
and the other problem
you,
issue
you don't
with
really
that
have to
is,
worry about it.
The other issue with that is hey, I don't give my truckers information. I wouldn't give my truckers. total bills were to someone. And unfortunately, just like you were talking about, I think yesterday, was there's going to be a shipper list. You start handing out information in these sheets, that $150 shipper list is going to come out of that Florida company. And next thing you know, all these drivers are asking for these sheets, and they're handing them over to somebody, and poof, they're opening up their own brokerage, or they're handing it over to somebody that's going to create a shipper list.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, no matter what, it's not a good choice. Thank you for calling in. I got to wrap up the
show.
Thanks. I don't want to run late today. Thank you, bud. All right. I'm turning off the phones. I'm going to end this now, so let me take this banner down. All right. Let me read through some of these comments and go. So I'm not going to answer the phone, so don't call. What do we have? We have Jason. Jason, I know you. James, you said you agree with Rick. I'm hoping that you're trolling. Jason. And then Greg McLean said two different issues, carrier stupidity versus broker transparency, but the success of most carriers starts at the wallet. As a broker, we have nothing to lose by backing transparency. Nothing. It gets most of us at scale being more honest than others. Yeah, I know. We've seen their margins. We have the Raycons for the shipper and the customer. Yeah, a lot of people don't understand it. People don't understand it, you know? Transparency is not going to help fix the immediate problem, and that's the real problem here. Transparency is not going to help the real problem here. The problem is that these companies are all going to go out of business. All these trucking companies that you see, they're all going to go out of business. So let's go through the polls that I have. So the first one that I had today, do you think increased broker regulations will help anything? 31% of you guys, 31% of Facebook viewers, have said yes. 69% of you guys on Facebook have said no. You do not think broker transparency and flat rate margins and all that stuff will do anything to help this, what's currently going on now. Here's another question, one that we asked too. Will I make it without help financially? 48% of you guys have said no, you will not be able to make it financially. 48% of the people on Facebook that have watched this video when this poll was up for about 15 minutes in the beginning of the show have said no. They're not going to make it open. Just to put a number to that, just so you guys could see, there was 108 people voted in that. So that's 52 companies right there, whether it's broker or carrier, are not going to survive this without getting some sort of financial assistance. 52 companies. That's nearly half of the protesters in D.C., and do you know what? We're choosing to battle about petty shit. We're choosing to battle back and forth about whether or not a broker is making too high of a commission. Instead of the trade organizations that we support, they're not going and saying, "Hey, you know what? Let's this doesn't make any sense. I really don't understand." And I really wish someone from the OIDA or TIA is watching this and says, you know what, we screwed up and we need to do our best to support these guys. Because what you're doing, and this is my personal opinion, what the TIA and OIDA are doing right now are effing each other over, and they're just having a pissing match to see which one's bigger and which one's more powerful. And it's going to, just like it always does, it's just going to hurt the small truckers. That's all it's going to do. 48% of you guys say you will not make it through this without help financially. That is an insane amount of people that are going to be done. Then the final question, I think this one was the final one. Are the DC protests working? Is the DC protest working? 31% of you have said yes. 69% of you have said no. Most likely because you understand the same thing that I'm saying. People aren't paying attention. People aren't paying attention to what's going on. Mike Weldon said, "What's the immediate need if it's not freight rates?" Yeah, but you can't look at how you can't mandate a private company to pay a certain amount. You can't. So the only way to do it would be to subsidize the truck driver's salary. What they're asking for, cap broker commissions and transparency in it is only going to prove two things. One, there's a very, very small portion of brokers that are taking advantage of the situation. And secondly, we're not making as much as you guys think we are. And that's going to hurt. And it does nothing. And it's not anything that's going to happen anytime soon. the answers to this and the answers to these problems lie with financial assistance somehow. You know, whether it's postponing payments, which doesn't really help anybody because you still have to make money. And whether it's postponing payments or whether it's opening up loans that are directly for the small business truckers. That's it, dude. That's it. It's the only way to have any of this, to have any of it work. Otherwise, people are just going to broke. They're just going to go broke, and it's not going to work. You know, the immediate need isn't to try to cap commission. And the people that think it is don't really have enough of an understanding of how the industry works. But 69% of people think that the protest in D.C. is not working. And I agree with that. It's not working. It's losing its focus. And I feel bad for the guys that are there still in protesting and standing straight because their message has been overshadowed by this fight over freight broker transparency and price gouging and all this stuff. When I can guarantee you it's on such a small scale. It's on such a small scale. You know? You know how many loads are being moved a day? Pretty close to that. Millions, dude. You know how big of a government entity it would be to audit all those? It would be crazy. It'd be crazy. You know? It's crazy. Let me read a couple of these comments and I'm going to end this. Greg McLean said, is that a scaled model of Stanley Cup on your shelf? It is, sir. It is. You can see it up there. Yeah, it is. Darren Perez said, do you want to see a rate confirmation of an invoice from the customer? Do you really want to see it? Let me know and I'll send it to you. I don't know who you're talking to. I mean, people do it. People send them all the time. I wouldn't send an invoice. I'll tell him how much. And then he can call the customer if he wants. And then, yeah, I'll blacklist him. You know, because it's none of their business. Nate Dukovich said the same. E-logs for brokers now. It's the same argument I made last night. And speaking of night shows, so what I'm going to do now, someone gave me the idea. I forgot who it was. I think it was Sean on Facebook. He messaged me and he said, I should call my night show. I don't need your customer rate cons. I know how much people are making. You know what I mean? So, and even if a broker makes $1,000 commission on it, the carrier still took the load. So I could give two shits how much someone makes. It doesn't matter to me. You know, the only people it matters to is you guys. You're the ones who care about it. So, you know, send that over to Rick so he can take the customer. Well, whatever. I'm not going there. But send it to whoever you want. I don't need it. I don't care. You know, I made a decision not to move any more freight for my customer because they were moving freight for too low, and I didn't feel comfortable doing it. But not all brokers are my way, you know, and not all brokers have separate streams of income coming in that they're able to do that. I make money elsewhere, so I'm able to continue doing what I do. But Darren Perez says you will see how much brokers are doing. Well, and unless you have – so on a given day, there's probably 100,000 loads that move. So unless you have 100,000 loads and you 100,000 invoices for each individual day, it's not brokers. It's unscrupulous one-time brokers that are doing it. It's not every single broker. It's just stupid, man. It's not a good argument. Yes, are there brokers that make a crap ton of money on an invoice? Probably. Who cares, dude? If you're getting enough money to haul the load, then that's great. If you're not getting enough money to haul the load, don't haul the load. Wait till the next one comes. Anybody that hauls the load is you're doing the worst thing to help you. You're literally just as guilty as the bad broker who's taking who's selling a load for cheap. You know, because you're also taking a load for less than what you actually need to operate. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it. All right, so like I was saying, Dayton Perez said, for sure you're not an owner-operator. Yeah, but I wasn't. I was an owner-operator where I had one truck, and then I grew that fleet to 20, bud. It's for sure you're not. Well, I'm not going there. I'm going to end this show before I get ticked off because I have trolls that don't. I just made an hour and 15-minute show explaining how the industry works, and yet people still just get on and just talk idiocy. They don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. My mind is blown by the stupidity of some people. It doesn't make any sense. People just need to listen. Read a book. That's what you guys need to do. Go read a book. Find out simple economics. Understand supply and demand. Because that plays a bigger part. I guarantee that once you read and you read up on supply and demand, you understand how that actually works and what supply and demand is, guess what will happen? You'll be like, oh, maybe it's not all brokers. Some brokers, yes. I will say that I'm a broker as well. Some brokers are being shady. I know of a few brokers that are doing it. But that's it. Dayton said, Truel is your mom. I don't know what that means either. Again, you got to use your head, bro. I don't know what he said. Oh, and now he's mad. All right. Well, let's just delete you. Make another stupid comment. I'll block you, too. Actually, I'll block you now. I don't like you. You're annoying. Oh, God. Guys, just use your head, bro. Just use your head. You know? Just use your head. Yes, there are people that are taking advantage. But, you know, just use your head. This industry is a hard industry right now. You know, people are getting screwed over left and right. You know, try to understand the industry. Try to make, just like George Gia said right there. That's the problem with the industry. Too many ding-dongs that don't have a clue about the industry or business 101. You know how many people I've blocked in the past week? I've never had to block people. Now I have to block people when I do shows. All right, guys. So I think when I do a late night show, I'm going to call it the quarantine with Free Broker Live. And that's it. He did write that. Wow, man. He wrote something like that. There ain't no farm like a troll farm. He said something. And then he wrote moths. I guess he likes moths. But so I'm going to call it quarantine with Free Broker Live. And it'll be at like, I don't know, 9 o'clock or whatever. And I'll just talk. It'll be a little bit more loose than this one. Because starting next week, I really want to get this back to like the news style show it was. And then every, you know, a couple of nights a week, I'll do a late one. Pillow Talk with Steve. I don't like that one. I'm not doing that. But that one's more, you know, educational, you know, shoot the shit, you know, call people stupid, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, at night. But with that said, guys, have a good day. I'm going to wash all the love bugs off of my car from driving back from D.C. It's covered in insects, and I just went outside today for the first time since I got back, so I saw how dirty it was, and it grossed me out. But with that said, we'll see you later. Bye.